Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Stanford Brout in the building, in the loop, Sports Radio 610. The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker.
Oh, man.
Stan looking fresh. He's got the juice. Is that beet juice?
Yes, it is.
Do you like the taste?
Yes. Apples, beets, and zucchini.
There you go.
How about that?
Looking fresh. Stan, what did you think about the win in London that the Texans got? We thought it would be a little bit more difficult than that. Were you impressed with that win? Did it change what you think about this team moving forward? Put it in perspective through the eyes of a former NFL cornerback.
Wow, it didn't really change anything about any of my perspective on the team moving forward. It was a great victory. Obviously, it was a little bit kind of tight there in the early going, but once it got to the second half, you could see the Houston started to wear on Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Minshew started throwing those interceptions toward the latter part of the game. Gary and Conley played pretty well, actually, out there.
We'll get back to that because I was going to ask you about that.
Covering his receivers. We see Deshaun Watson is simply amazing. We can clearly see that. No doubt that he's going to make all pro this year. I think that Jacksonville, you could tell that maybe the lack of experience for Gardner Minshew may start to be wearing on the Jacksonville team, especially the defense. So maybe they'll get a little bit of a jolt of a little bit of enthusiasm with Nick Foles coming back into the fold next week. But it did not necessarily change anything because this division is going to come down to the Houston Texans and the Indianapolis Colts. And then with, what's my man's name? Jacoby Brissett, with him getting hurt like he did against the Pittsburgh Steelers with the MCL sprain, that makes things even more interesting. So it makes these games more meaningful going down the stretch. But it did not change my perspective on the Houston Texans in any way because I think they're a good team. I think that they're one of the better teams in the AFC. Now, whether they're better than the Ravens, whether they're better than the Patriots, teams like that, that's going to remain to be seen because they have the Ravens.
And it will be seen, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. It's right there in front of you.
And was it 11 days, and then they have the Patriots, first week of December, I believe. So it's going to be very interesting down the stretch to see where this team actually ranks in the higher pantheon of the AFC.
Well, let's start real quick with the schedule that you just touched on right there, because I've been telling Landry and our listeners one of the kind of the hidden values of playing the Ravens and the Colts twice in a span of 5 or 6 days is the fact that you have 2 weeks before the Ravens to get well, get back from your long weekend or whatever it is, and have better preparation for the Ravens. Then you go boom, boom, Colts at home. But then you have 10 days before, since you're playing Thursday night, between that Thursday night games and the Patriots. So you get 2 weeks to prepare. In essence, I know players are gone, but in essence, you're going to have 2 weeks to prepare for the Ravens and then 10 days to prepare for the Patriots. To me, that's a real hidden value for this team.
Yes, it is, because they're the better teams of the AFC right now. We're not really sure we can put Kansas City back in that mix because Kansas City's been kind of up and down, although they had a great win with Matt Moore versus the Minnesota Vikings last week. I think that this is going to be where Bill O'Brien makes his money. Or should I say Bill O'Brien actually supplants himself as the coach of the future for the Houston Texans. You got the Ravens coming in. They just beat the Patriots. Lamar Jackson, he's rolling. That defense seems like it's starting to kind of come back around again. And just like you said, you got the Colts on Thursday night. Quick turnaround. That game is going to be here in Houston. You don't have to worry about traveling. And then guess what? After that, you got, 11 days or 10 days. Yeah. Then you got the New England Patriots. So this next stretch of games for the Houston Texans, to me, is going to come down to coaching, preparation, and just simply, can you get your guys ready? And I think for Bill O'Brien, this right here, in my opinion, is going to decide whether he should be the coach going forward, or whether he's somebody who's coaching on his last few games as the Houston Texans head coach.
Stanford Brout in, former NFL cornerback, going around the NFL. I also think it's kind of just like it's a buffet of types of football the next three games, because We know what the Patriots are. They're the best dynasty of all time, so you have that. But it's more prototypical. You got Tom Brady, the pro-style quarterback of the past, and Bill Belichick, the best coach ever. And then you have, before that, we're talking about the two best teams in the AFC and why it's so crazy. I think the Ravens are a futuristic football team. They're using Lamar Jackson. We've seen mobile quarterbacks, but they haven't been used exactly like Lamar Jackson. They're going all in, and they're using him. And also, when it comes to analytics and all the stuff you talk about, there's not a more analytical team than the Baltimore Ravens. They're going for 2-point conversions at certain times. They're going for it on 4th and 6. John Harbaugh has basically said it's all analytics for me. I'm taking out the emotion of the game. We're going analytic. It's almost like the future versus, I don't want to call the Patriots school. The past yeah. yet, but it's like what you used to think about the NFL perfectly put together, and then the future of the NFL in 11 days.
I see exactly what you're saying, and I think that for the Baltimore Ravens, for Harbaugh, he's got to go all in, because this type of play style with Lamar Jackson, yes, he was successful on Sunday beating the New England Patriots, but I'm still not sure how much this can be sustained over a long period of time, because I always come back to 3rd and 8.
Mm-hmm.
When it gets to 3rd and 8, and you don't necessarily have the ability to be able to run for that first down because you need 8 yards, it's not 3rd and 3. You have to be able to make those timing patterns mm-hmm. that throw into that tight window, anticipating the window opening up. You got to be able to do that on a consistent level if you really want to move the chains in the big games to get over the hump and win that elusive Super Bowl. That's where I'm not sure exactly if that can be sustained, but I understand right now, for the time being, for the Baltimore Ravens, I see why Harbaugh is going all in on that, because you have to, because there's no way you can be 1 foot in, 1 foot out as an offensive coordinator or as a head coach with a player as dynamic at the quarterback position like Lamar Jackson.
It might work. I mean, it could work for the Ravens, but they're going to get somebody killed. It might not be Lamar. Like, it's because you know, how it's a copycat league.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Lamar Jackson might just be a special talent, but somebody's going to try to copy that. And someone's going to end up dead, because you can't – not everyone – like, if it does work with Lamar Jackson, that's fine. But for every time it works, there's going to be someone that tries to do that, and they're going to get someone
and they're
going to
fail at it. Yeah, I mean, I think that the Baltimore Ravens, they're a very interesting team, because I'm interested in seeing this game against the Houston Texans next week to see how they're able to go ahead and combat that run game, that two-headed monster with a Mark Ingram and a Lamar Jackson. And I think that even though – the Baltimore Ravens played great and ran New England off of the field on Sunday night.
That game wasn't even as close as the scoreboard.
Exactly.
It was a 17-point game.
I still, right now, would bet my last dollar.
Mm-hmm.
New England versus Baltimore, if they would have made the playoffs.
Oh, I said that after the game.
I'm going New England all day.
I said that.
I would bet my last dollar. I don't care. Baltimore, they play in New England. I don't care if they play in Mexico, London. I don't care. If they're playing in the playoffs, I'd bet my last dollar on Bill Belichick.
I think Kansas City is the team that people are sleeping on just because it's out of sight, out of mind.
I could see that too.
Yeah, I mean, defense sucks, but that offense still is that offense.
Yeah, of course. I mean, especially if Pat Mahomes comes back to full strength like we expect him to be.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that
playing this week, by the
seeing
way.
Matt Moore come in against the Green Bay Packers, they had that close loss on Sunday Night Football.
Mm-hmm. They beat a damn good team.
Exactly. Losing 31-24. That's nothing to sneeze at for Matt Moore.
Yeah.
And then to go and play, albeit it's the Kirk Cousins, Minnesota Vikings, they go out there, win that game against a tough NFC North opponent. I think that that's actually showing me more than what they had when Pat Mahomes was in there, because your stud, all-pro, MVP quarterback is out. And you got the backup, somebody that nobody expected much of because he was just coaching high school last year. Somebody you didn't expect a lot of actually come in there and hold Aaron Rodgers, lose close to him, and then go beat the Minnesota Vikings against a team that has a really good defense. We know Kirk Cousins, he's up and down. We get that. But the Minnesota Vikings, their defense is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah,
it's nothing to be embarrassed of by no stretch of the
imagination. Can a win like that do more for a team than if Pat Mahomes had been out there?
Oh, yes. No question, because that shows that, you know what, guys? Even when we don't have our dog, even when we don't have our leader, our stud, we still are.
That makes you step your game up a little bit.
Because you have to do that much more. But I think after a victory like that, everybody now has belief. Like, you know what? Like, man, we got a good team.
Well, the
bro.
Texans got a little dose of that on the defensive side.
Yes.
You know, right after JJ, you know, gets hurt, they come out and put together a hell of a performance. I mean, you can't ask for more than what they did in London. And I want to get back to that. You started this segment with the Gary and Connolly reference. I don't think people realize how difficult it is for a guy to come in as soon as recently as he had to step on the field. And what were his numbers, Landry? He had like three pass breakups.
Darren Conley had eight tackles, two pass breakups. He led the team in both statistical categories.
Yeah, and I remember actually having a conversation with a few people about this because they were asking me, so Stan, how do you feel about Darren Conley being traded to the Houston Texans? He seemed like he wasn't really gelling well. He just seemed like a complete bust in Oakland. And I remember telling him, I was like, guys, I think Darren Conley is going to come to Houston, mm-hmm. and he's going to play better than he did when he was in Oakland, but just because it seems like it's a little bit more structured. He's not going to be asked to do as much because a lot of it is predicated, once again, on the front seven, the pass defense for the Houston Texans. And because he's not going to be asked to cover every route on the proverbial route tree,
right,
it's going to simplify his job and his responsibility where he's going to be able to focus on, okay, you know what? I got to make sure that I cover the out. I got to make sure to cover the skinny post, and I got to make sure to cover the dig. I'm not responsible for the slant. I'm not responsible for the quick out or the arrow. There are certain routes he's not responsible for, mm-hmm. so he can just focus on what he needs to focus on because versus the Houston Texans scheme after what was going on out there in Oakland.
And we said when they signed him that got a tackle. I mean, that part of this scheme is tackling, eight tackles. Wasn't tackling well in Oakland, but he comes here and so far so good. I'm not going to sit here and
he's not going to be.
I mean, that you're not going to face
anointed just yet.
Yeah, you're not going to face very many receiving cores worse than Jacksonville without Dede Westerbrook and Marquise Lee.
Yes,
it's not going to happen very often.
Yeah, you're definitely not, because we see that Baltimore's coming in. They got Hollywood Brown. They got Willie Snead. I believe it's the what's the tight end's name? Is it
Mark Andrews? They got two,
Hurst
and Mark Andrews.
And then we see that we got the Indianapolis Colts coming up after that. They have some weapons. Let's just go ahead and call it that. T.Y.'s going to be out for the Texans game
3 to 5 weeks.
Yeah.
Wow. When was this?
Last week. Yeah. 3 to 5.
I didn't know it was going to be 3 to 5. I knew
Sunday,
he was.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He'll probably have some magic dust and be out there with the Texans.
He'll be dragging his leg off the field after every snap.
He ain't going to miss the game in his house.
He'll score a touchdown and then limp off.
He could have had a paralyzed injury and he'd go out there against the Texans. So I might be speaking too.
Well, I mean, for Gerrion Conley, it's good for him to go ahead and get the win against his former team, the Oakland Raiders, and get the W for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that builds confidence for him. And then obviously we see that J. Joe, guys like Bradley Roby, they're going to eventually work their way back into full starter mode, not just in spot duty. So I think that things are looking up for this team. But just like what I said before, the Baltimore Ravens, the Indianapolis Colts, the New England Patriots, that's where this is really going to be decided, where they rank in the AFC and the higher-ups, and can Bill O'Brien actually get it done when he's expected to get it done and when the pressure's on.
Stanford Route, well-spoken Wednesday, hump day here on Sports Radio 610. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. We're going to talk about this on the back end, because the slight possibility of the Texans going from the AFC South to the AFC West, it had myself and the OG extremely excited. I don't think there's very many people better equipped to be able to talk about this, because you played in the AFC West. You also played in the AFC South. We're going to talk about the difference and if we should be excited about that small possibility. More with Stanford Brout next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.